Welcome to the Unstoppable Success Podcast, where we spotlight visionary leaders who have mastered the art of growth, purpose, and powerful connections. I'm your host, Jacqueline Strominger, connector, high performance coach, and creator of the Leap to Your Success framework and Two Steps to Yes. Each week, we dive into bold insights, real conversations, and powerful strategies to fuel your growth, deepen your relationships, and ignite transformational momentum. And why? Because you were meant to be unstoppable. Now, let's leap into the podcast.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another amazing episode of the Unstoppable Success Podcast. I'm your host, Jacqueline Strominger, and today I have an amazing guest that I cannot wait for you to meet, and that is Josh Cadillac. Let me tell you a little bit about Josh, because it's very appropriate right now. He is an award-winning international speaker, he's a real estate coach, and he's the author of author who trains real estate professionals how to close for life by building lasting success through extensive knowledge. His unique method combines education real estate professionals need to survive in this industry with tools to convert that knowledge into a rapport, credibility, and trust, which is really important in the industry. And Josh has been a top producer since going full-time in 2008, quickly earning many of the most prestigious certifications and designations in the industry. He is the author of The Roadmap of the American Dream. It's a simple guide that explains how investing works, and Close for Life, the story of how he learned that top spot just earning commissions and started winning customers for life. And he also has a new book coming out called Success for Life. There's a lot of success, a lot of life in here. So welcome, Josh.
Thanks, Jacqueline, so much for having me here. It's great to be here with you.
So it's so great. Don't normally start off asking this question, but it is like totally top of mind right now because you are in the real estate profession and you are somebody who obviously knows how to close, knows how to go after business. So for people who are in a position in, and I'm going to take obviously real estate, or maybe it's in another industry where there is lots of talk of, oh, it's a slow market or this is a slow time. Mm-hmm. How do you actually help people to flip the switch?
The switch flip is this. We are coming through a stretch here. And not all markets have kind of moved to being more of a buyer's market, but we're seeing more and more of that throughout the U.S. And it's been more of a crisis of consumer confidence because of all the things that are going on. When there's uncertainty, consumers tend to kind of, I don't know what to do. We're still fundamentally in real estate, have an undersupply of real estate. We've been building far fewer homes than we need every year. So we're between 4.5 and 6 million homes behind. So there is an undersupply that exists. But right now we have a little bit of a crisis of consumer confidence that's causing a pullback. I say to everybody, what are you talking about? This is the greatest opportunity that you've had in 25 freaking years. I mean, buyers have had no leverage in the real estate market for a really long time in most markets. I mean, even if you go back to 2008, nobody could really buy because the banks really weren't lending. And everybody that could have bought and got screwed in the market. So everybody was out. Now you have all kinds of lending product out there. People do. I mean, while home affordability is an issue, people have the money. You ready for this, Jacqueline? It's crazy. You can go to a seller and rather than deal with 50 other offers, you can offer them 10% below asking price and ask them to give you points back to pay down your mortgage, to lower your mortgage payment. And they're taking the deal. You have leverage. The holy grail is having the buyer today. And it's just real estate is so slow kind of for the people in the industry to recognize what the change is and where the opportunity is. For me, go where the opportunity is, the opportunity, have the buyer, show people, here's the opportunity. You could stay in cash. CPI just came in at 2.7%. Your cash is getting killed. Or you could get long in real estate where there's very little competition to take and get a deal. You can get good terms, you can get a good price, and when interest rates soften, and if whenever they do soften, you refinance and take advantage of that, but you locked in your price. Great, great place to be.
You know, it is. But so listeners, this is actually something that that I think is really, really important. It's having the mindset and also looking at where opportunities happen to be.
Absolutely. I
And
mean, it's a fascinating time. I was literally just writing a class on this, like identifying where this is. Every market seeks equilibrium, right? And when anything changes, it throws it out of equilibrium and it creates opportunities and also things that get discouraged. They're not as good to take and invest in. What we have the benefit of right now is there's lots of things that are being changed all at once, which that equilibrium is being thrown more out of whack than normal, which there's more places for opportunity. So I think it's actually a really good thing.
No, and I totally agree. And the key thing is actually is to, you can do what the industry standard is, or in general, like, and say, oh, the market's slow, I'm going to take the time off over the summer, and it's da, da, da. Or you could be the person who actually keeps working and does things consistently and changes the mindset of, oh my God, this is a great time, and looks for the opportunity.
You know, because we're not, I don't want to just take and limit this to real estate because it's not just the real estate thing. So I want to take and broaden the appeal. Step one, know what the hell you're talking about. Like, actually, most people in sales focus on sales techniques and never figure out why the hell the product is actually good. For like, why would somebody want this? And how do I show them what the benefit is really well? And more than that, Jacqueline, how do I show them in selling this to them that I'm looking out for them and would never sell them anything more than what is the right thing for them? Because most people in sales have been trained to do what I'm going to call Tinder sales. Tinder sales is hook up with the customer, get what you want, and never call them the next day, right? I don't buy that. I don't want that. I want to do every deal they ever do. I want to be. My father's originally from the. I'm from New York. In New York, I got a guy. How do I get them to say that about me? How do I handle myself in sales? Because if I do that, I haven't closed the deal. I've closed the customer, and that pays dividends over and over. Maybe it means I take a little less because I don't sell them the upgrade that they never needed. Right? Maybe no, look, guys, I could sell that to you. I know you want it, but I'm telling you, you're like never gonna use it. We could always upgrade you later. It's not gonna cost. Try it without it. Let me be that guy because that guy's different. Nobody else is saying that. And that, guys, when you do that, now you're a scarce resource. That's the place to be. So be paying attention, help them do the work, right? I think the biggest thing when I say that is people haven't quite picked up on the fact that we have too much information now. And what I mean is, let's say you and I, Jacqueline, we were going to go to Rome, and let's say we had never been, right? Or we're going to go someplace we've never been. And because I'm a closet fat kid, I always want to know wherever we're going to go, where's the place we're going to eat? Like, where are we going for food? All right. The thing is, if I go Google search, where is the place I got to eat if I go to Rome? There's going to be 5 million things. It's going to take hours of research, and I'm still not going to be clear on where I want to go when it's all done. That's what people have access to right now. What I really would like as a consumer, as a person going to Rome, I'd love to have a friend I could call up who goes to Rome 5 times a year and has lived there for and say, "Hey, I'm going to Rome. Where should I eat?" Because you know what that friend's going to say? "All right, Josh. Here's what you do. You go to this street. Look to your right. There's a little alley. Halfway down the alley, there's a little canvas. Knock 3 times. Ask for Antonio. Tell him I sent you. He'll give you a meal that'll change your life." People don't want more information. They want insight. They want somebody who already knows it well enough to cut through the crap and give them the actual answer they need. And so knowing your product well, sitting here, oh, look, that's what you need. All right, here's what you really need to know. That conversation is so valuable, but most people in sales can't have it because they're too focused on sales techniques rather than actually being good at what they do.
It is so true, and all of what you're also saying too, and I think it's very important, and I feel like a lot of people have lost it, is know the people and know and create relationships. It's really unique when you find people who aren't there to actually pitch you, but are there to actually get to know you. And maybe my product is going to be good for you, but maybe not. At the end of the day, what matters to me, what should matter most is, did I listen to what you need? Did I listen to what maybe, maybe it's a pain point, but maybe you don't even know. But what are you looking for? And is there somebody or something that I could be that connector for? Because it's going to come back. But you do want to be the guy. You want to be that guy or that girl that someone's going to say, hey, you know what? Josh might know somebody. And then that, like, let them keep coming back to you. Oh, you know, I want to pick up the phone. I got somebody for you. Be that person.
It's interesting, Jacqueline, because what you're talking about, figuring out their pain point, it's an important part, but I think the sequence, because of how cynical people have become to sales, we actually have to kind of flip it on its head. Rather than finding out about you, I think the better way actually to approach things is to anticipate you well, because that's what people are not doing. So I'm sure you've had the experience, I've had the experience of where you go someplace and they send a car to the airport to pick you up. They send a professional driver, they got the little sign and everything. And if the driver's any good, what they do, if it's a good company, they'll call you the day before. They'll obviously confirm your flight information and they'll ask you a question. Do you have any bags? And if you tell them yes, a good driver will always be there and have a luggage cart waiting. And the reason why is, well, they didn't ask you whether you wanted them to get you a luggage cart. They just assumed a person coming in would appreciate having a luggage cart. The cynicism that exists for sales puts me in a position, Jacqueline, where I have a dearth of integrity in the customer's mind on the way in. Before I really start asking you questions, I have to take and build up enough respect and trust to get those honest answers. Because if I was to sit here and say to you, all right, Jacqueline, what's your budget? Well, you're not going to, usually somebody that's being asked that by a salesperson is not going to tell the truth up front. You go in to buy a used car, they say, hey, how much you got to spend on a used car today? If you got 10 grand in your pocket, you're saying 6,500, right? And I know that. This is me not anticipating the customer. So if you were my customer coming to me, Jacqueline, I'd say, all right, Jacqueline, look, here's what's going on out there. Here's what you got to look out for. Here's what you work, whether you work with me or anybody else, Jacqueline, I want to make sure that you understand what's going on so that nobody can pull the wool over your eyes. After I'm done talking, if you want to work with me, cool. And if not, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I get that. But at least I'll know that I've given you the lay of the land and you probably won't make any mistakes along the way. And so that opens up a conversation where I'm able to show that I understand, that I bring value to the table. And then when I circle back to that, Jack, all right, so what is it exactly you're looking to do? Where did you want to be? That conversation now is more likely to yield me the kind of answers from you that are going to help me really serve you as well as I can to identify the real pain points and get past what I'm going to call the girl at the bar. No. And what does that mean? You walk up, you go talk to the girl at the bar. You don't realize 49 other people just got done bothering this poor gal. She's trying to say, she's got a note dusted off, polished up, ready for me. That's got nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do with the 49 other people that try to sell her stuff or try to take and ask her out earlier, right? I've got to get past that initial defense mechanism because it's just people have been sold to so much. It's part of what we have to kind of, I think it's the adjustment that sales has to make to just how much getting smacked in the face with salespeople have now.
It's like, how can you bring in almost like the create the calmness about it and sort of like just not be, don't come at it from the standpoint of sales, but just come at it with being with an authentic self of actual curiosity to know about the people that you're in front of,
Well, I mean, it's just like anything else. If you've been to the restaurant, if you've been to the place, you've been to the thing, and somebody's coming who's never been for the first time, all right. You're going to Disney World. All right, here's the rides to avoid. These were dogs. These are the ones you want to go on. This is the way. Like everybody wants to get that inside track. And most people aren't talking about that. Oh, where do you want to be? Oh, what a lovely family you have. Oh, what nice, I love your blouse. To me, that is the dating equivalent of, hey, baby, what's your sign? You know what I mean? It's like it's so used up, it's so far gone that the customer has just this knee-jerk reaction. What usually happens, Jacqueline, is the person they wind up going with, they just reach a level of like desperation, or it's just, all right, we need to find somebody to work with, and this is not the right person. It's Mr. or Miss right now, the one that just happens to be in the right spot. And trying to get past that, if you sound like everybody else in sales, they'll treat you like everybody else in sales. So how do I sound different while making them respect what I've done to be worthy of their business? And
Yeah,
that's
no, that's so that's that, you know, the what will you do to help differentiate yourself from other people?
sure.
So Josh, you know, your new book, Success for Life, is coming out. So talk to us a little bit about, you know, 'cause, you know, a lot of people think, you know, well, what is success and how are you defining it?
There's actually a really good chapter in that book. The book is an anthology, and I wanted to do an anthology because there's so many things that people put out to just make money that bother me. Like, oh, follow this 27-step program and you too could be successful. You know, not every form recipe is delicious to everybody, right? There's different paths for different people. So I got a bunch of people together that were successful in different venues, different industries, and I had them write a chapter in the book. And actually, after I had cobbled together everybody and I had all that I wanted, I actually added one more person in for a different perspective, which was my brother, who's a philosophy professor. So he's got a couple of master's degrees. He's a sharp guy. He's got a big job at, you know, whatever. He's a very successful guy. And his chapter was very much on that. Like, what is success? And can you enjoy the journey along the way to success? Or does it require like perpetual misery and grinding every, you know? The person that comes to mind is Derek Jeter, right? Derek always talked about the problem he had. His father would always beat him. Look, Derek, you got to enjoy, you know, what's happening right now. I mean, I know you want to win. You want to win the World Series. You want to go back to back. Like, I know you want the next thing, but you're the shortstop for the New York Yankees. You know, savor that just a little bit, right? And so, I think that I was happy with the project, with the idea that I cobbled together this different group, and they all, I just told them the general idea, like, what do you think is the thing? If you had a pick, you had a kid, you know, your own, like you're telling your kid, hey, look, this is the thing for me that really made the difference. And so everybody kind of has their story or how they took that. And when I was reading the manuscript, I was like, wow, this is way different, like way further out than I thought it was going to go. Because they really all came at it. It's amazing the creativity that people have and just kind of where they take ideas. But yeah, it, for me, like when I was writing mine was very much about things my father said to me since I was a little kid. My father started as soon as I could talk, he was dropping these pearls on me all the time. And, you know, I'd ask and he'd keep giving me the answers and explain. And, but as I look back at my life and I look at this career that I started in real estate as a result of basically losing everything in 2008, when the market tanked, I had restaurants, I had commercial real estate, I was doing well, but what should have been a fairly insulated position got wiped out because of a black swan event that made all the safety margins no longer sufficient. So I wound up overextended. You know, even though I was what normally would be just fine, and I had to start from scratch. And so I went when I went to real estate from that. I was like, I don't know this as well as I need to really be worthy of people's business in my mind. Like, I know what people should expect me to know. So I immediately took everything I could, like every class. If it wasn't nailed down, I took it all. Got designations and certificate, whatever, for days, just because I was afraid of making a mistake. Like, I'm going to ask you, Jacqueline, to make the largest decision of financial decision of your life, possibly. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Like, maybe I could get you to do it, but I shouldn't feel good about that, right? And so, even though that's what our industry actually encourages people to do, Like, oh, you can get them to work with you, then do it. You'll figure it out as you go. Like, how was that okay? Anyway,
Yeah.
so I realized that all these things I was being told in these classes of how to be successful, when I started to actually be successful, it wasn't those things that was getting me there. It was all these lessons from this old man who had been successful in business. You know, my father was old when I came along. All these old lessons that he told me of, you know, this is the way you do things, and this is how you think, and this is how you build a business. That's what actually made the difference. And so it was a much more classical view of business. I mean, my father was, his business was based basically on the docks of New York, Manhattan. He was an exporter. And you know, all these interactions with, you know, the longshoremen, the mob guys, like, oh, the police had to get an envelope. Like, I mean, there was the when he told me what the biggest success, what the biggest key to success is, he said to me, not, hey, look, you do this. It wasn't some, you know, he says, you got your word. You compromise that for nobody. And it was those kind of lessons, you know, these idea that you have standards that you hold yourself to, regardless of what you can get away with.
Right.
That was what actually helped separate me and allow me to build, you know, what I did. I built back everything I lost and then some, and, you know, built all these great operations and all these cool things that we've been able to do, all these the funds that I've run and all the successful transactions that we've been able to be part of as both principals and also bringing investors to. And so it's I think the easiest thing I could say is it works. It just works. And I want people to know that doing it the right way works if you really commit to do it the right way. So, yeah.
So, if someone said to you, "All right, so Josh, what's the right way?"
What's the right way? I'll give you what I wrote in my first in my book, Close for Life. I think that in real estate, there's two jobs that an agent has, just two. Know what the hell you're doing, then market yourself as somebody who knows what the hell they're doing. Most agents skip job one to go to job two and never get it back around to doing job one. Most agents don't know what I mean. People have been in the business 20, 30 years. I literally did an event for somebody today. The broker had been in the business for 27 years, had no idea how to transact business in the world that we live in today, as far as how to take and fill what forms we need, securing compensation, like just from the changes from the NAR settlement that occurred. No idea. Now that's a couple of years old and still doesn't know how to take and transact, right? How can that go on your watch? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's just not okay. And then other agents are depending upon you, yet it's so ubiquitous. So I would say is, you know, really commit to understand your product well, and then commit to do the right thing for your customer. I think a great relationship in sales is built on rapport, credibility, and trust. Overwhelmingly, rapport is what everything agents, salespeople are pushed to build that relationship, all that kind of stuff. But I want a relation. I'm sure you would agree, Jacqueline. There are relationships and there are relationships. There's some that I should
Right.
be in and some that I shouldn't. One of the indicators of a relationship that I should be in is one where there's mutual respect. And so what I would say to people is never expect respect when you walk in the door. Expect the opportunity to earn the respect by what you do once you do walk in the door. All right. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to negotiate that first by having something to say of value to the people that I'm going to, by anticipating what their needs are going to be. How am I going to know how to handle that? I have empathy. If I was them in the situation they're in, what would I want? And then I'm going to pre-negotiate that respect in by having a meaningful, valuable conversation. When you're prepared to do that, I don't care if you sell widgets, I don't care what it is. If you're prepared to do that and to show them throughout that you're going to take and deal straight with them, that you're going to take and not try to push them to do something that's more than what they need, they'll come back over and over and over again.
Yes, you know what? I totally agree. I mean, it's one of those things. Relationships, you know, you've got good ones and bad ones. There's right ones and wrong ones, but it's also the ones where you feel that it is the mutual respect, and it's enjoyable. You're
Sure.
not, you know, it's and going back to like the dating thing, it's like, you know, if if it's so painful, like if the person doesn't call, right? If
Yeah.
they say, right, they say they're gonna call, but they don't call. Yeah, guess what? They're not the right one, right? It's
Yep.
like, and if you have to, if you're sitting there waiting by the phone and like, said he's gonna call, but
Yeah. No, absolutely. I would th there's a nuance to it, which is this. There's a lot of people in sales that kind of put themselves in the victim role of, oh, I guess they weren't very motivated. Oh, I guess. The question always on the post game has to be, what could I have done to have anticipated them better and to have pre-negotiated out whatever stopped them from performing? So, like, maybe the best example I could give is if I was going to try to get somebody's property to give them to have them give me the right to sell their property to list their property for sale, I'm going to go out on a limb, Jacqueline, and anticipate they're probably going to want to sell it for more than they probably should. They're going to try to put because you know what or something in the I don't know how many thousands of these that I've gone on. I could count on one finger the number of times people have actually been like, no. Let's price it at the price where the market shows it should sell at. Everybody wants to try a little bit more. We'll try. Right? So if I want to do what's best for you, I know if it's overpriced, it winds up actually getting less money at the end of the day. So I have to walk in and tell you this message that you're not going to want to hear. I have the ability, though, to frame that any way that I want to. Should I not have used every single one of these thousands of presentations I've been on to tweak and tweak and tweak the snot out of it to help you make the best possible choice for you while still not getting the blowback on me like I'm the bad guy telling you, hey, look, you can't get 8 million for your property when the highest closed sale in the neighborhood was two?
Right. Oh my God. I'm hearing conversations in my head about some of my friends about when they wanted to put their house on the market sometimes, and I'm just like, out of your mind, but whatever. But yeah, but I get it. So, Josh, success, it, we're talking about relationships, we're talking about, doing the right thing for the people, and not, and a lot of this, obviously, I'm going to say probably came from your dad and some of the things
Oh,
that he
yes.
said, but to somebody who's new, who maybe didn't have that, what's like that one thing that you could say to them that might be like,
So I'll take a
do it this
couple.
way.
I'll take a couple of things because I mean, the life lessons that are in the chapter, the one that comes to my mind, I mean, the kind of stuff my father would say is, by the inch it's a cinch, by the yard it's hard. Well, if that's the case, it doesn't mean you don't have to go the yard. It just means that right now, let's just take and move the ball forward. If you're starting out, you're not how you want to end up, but you need to do something today to be more like that salesperson that you want to be, right? What am I doing to move the ball forward? It is unacceptable to look at the distance and sit there and be paralyzed because you'll never get there. The reality of it is there is a better version of us within us that we all have not seen. If we choose not to pursue that, we all run the risk of dying with our best work never seen, our magnum opus left unperformed. And what's the worst part of that? Not only that the world is denied that, you never get to see what you could be. Right. So what I'm trying to be, I'm going to identify who I want to be. Like, I want to know what it's like. So, like, what are the secret fears of real estate agents? Let you into the back room. Like, most people don't necessarily know that. Most agents are terrified of walking into that room where the seller or the customer knows more than they do. Because when that happens, you're irrelevant. You're an order taker. Just take a notepad and just ask if they want a side of fries with it because you're a waiter or waitress you're a server at the restaurant. When you start in this business, it is very likely you could walk into a room where somebody knows more than you do about this thing. Are you doing everything you can to take the subset of people that could eat your lunch and shrink that by becoming better and better and better? So I can't get there in a week, but within a year, I would say in my business, I was the place where there was maybe 2% of the population that could hang with me in a conversation about real estate. Now, Jacqueline, frankly, I'm in the place. You stick George Perez, you st any of the biggest developers in the world, I will be able to have a conversation that's interesting with them that they're going to enjoy, and I'll bring value and stuff they haven't heard to the table. Why? Because this is my craft. My integrity is such that I need to be better than this at this than the hobbyists that come in. Anybody that comes in as a hobbyist, if they could eat my lunch at what I do, shame on me. Now, that's not a standard for anybody else. That's my standard for me. Nobody else is enforcing that but me on me. And so that takes and has me always pushed to be better at what I do so that the end result, now 15, 17, actually 17 years in the business, the guy I am, I never could even imagine getting to when I started. How did you get? It's like how people say to people all the time, how did I wind up in the business for 17 years? As it turns out, just not leaving is what got me here, you know? When I started, I was like 2 years in, and people are like, I've been in the business 15 years. I'm like, man, how did you be want to be? It turns out, you know, you stick. So, yeah, guys, that time and just continuous inch at a time making progress, that would be the thing that I would say.
And I love that, and it's and keep moving the ball forward and always be learning. I mean, it's always, it's like that cliche, but it is true. Always be learning. Always be learning. Josh, you have a wealth of information. I love the fact that you're, closing for life. I mean, that's people, everybody needs to know that success for life. These are all great things. So how can our listeners get more of you, learn more about you, get your books?
Sure. So closeforlife.com, spell it any way you want to, close with the number four or the word FOR, however you want. It all takes you to the same place. That's where we have our mastermind. That's where we have a lot of the books and all that other stuff. You can find me on social media pretty much everywhere. I think on Instagram, it's Josh D. Cadillac. Otherwise, it's Josh Cadillac, pretty much every place else. And yeah, feel free to reach out. I'm always happy to talk to people and see if I can make a difference. I love being able to help people actually get this thing better and kind of improve their life, their family's life. Like there's just so many ancillary benefits when you can help people.
Yeah, that's so great. Well, listeners, please do me the favor of reaching out to Josh and connect with him, and do me another favor of hitting subscribe and also sharing this with your friends and colleagues, because these are key lessons that everybody in life needs to know, and they will all help you to have unstoppable success. I'm Jacqueline Strominger, your host. Again, thank you for listening, and thank you, Josh, for being an amazing guest.
My pleasure, Jacqueline. Thank you again.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for joining me on the Unstoppable Success Podcast, where we don't just talk about growth, we leap toward it. If something today lit a fire within you, sparked a new idea, or gave you the extra push forward, please don't keep it to yourself. Share this episode and podcast with a friend, colleague, or fellow high achiever. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review, and most importantly, connect with me, Jacqueline Strominger, at leaptoyoursuccess.com for coaching, community, and your next bold move. Keep leading with intention, keep building your network with purpose, and most of all, keep leaping, because you were meant to be unstoppable.